Praise God.
I'll just take some very few minutes. I just give an overall of what's going on, just an update. And I'll start with the building fund. Lorraine, would you please put the building fund amount that we have contributed so far? And I want to tell everyone one thing, that the main reason some of these things we are doing is for accountability. And the building fund, up to now we have $63,555.54. That money is in the bank. No one has ever touched that money. Legally, you can't even use that money for anything else. By IRS, you can't even use that money to pay for the lands, to pay for anything else. Because you say this for building fund. So if I use that for payroll, it's fraud. And we'll be in for it. No one wants to go to jail. So that money, if anyone needs a statement, it's available. I think the building committee knows this. Every time we have a meeting, the statements are readily available. And for members, for accountability purposes, anyone who wants to see the statement, maybe from the beginning up to now, I'm ready to give it to you. And I'm very, very sure everything is all right. Praise God. Now, let's go to the second item. It's about the contribution that we give, tithes and offering. And I'll give you a... I'll try to portray what's have been going on. And I'll start with a contribution on 814, which was around $1,237. 87 was $269. 731, that's July 31st, was 1,343. July 24, it's $1,001. Now, if you add all that amount, and then you look at our budget, you'll figure out one thing, that surely we are short. And these are things that we pay every month. Rent, $1,250. Payroll, $2,000. Sunday school, and this is per week. For Sunday school and worship, it's per week. $60 per week. Worship, $150 per week. So if you multiply 150 by 4, that's 600. Sunday school, 60 by 4, it's... If you do the maths, you'll see that so far, so good. I thank everyone, and I say God is good. But we are coming up short. And the only thing for a church, we depend on members. The tithes and offering that we give, that's the only way we can be able to pay our bills. And now here is where I told the pastor that I need to come to the members and ask them, please, can you help the church pay the bills? That's a request. And the only thing I think we can do is just being faithful in our tithes and offering. Now, other things that we do as a church, and when I say we, it's everyone. We buy a Sunday school supplies. I'll come back to that because there's something also I want to point out that. And also church supplies. You all know that if any of our member has anything else, anything going on, let's assume like we say it's Carol and Joyce. They lost their dad, correct? As a church, we have to come up with something. It might not be so much, but at least as a church, this is our member and we have to do something for them, correct? I believe in each and every family that something have happened, We go out there, and as a church, we contribute. And I think that's the right thing. And we would like to do more. Also, we are supposed to fund Wilson Ministry, but due to the tight budget, we have not been able to do this for a couple of months. It's like 4 or 5 months. And I was asking myself, what do you do when you make a pledge? You're supposed to fulfill it, correct? And in my heart, I was feeling like we need to do something as a church. It's either, one, we have to get money to fund it, or we talk to Pastor Wilson and say, we cannot be able to do it for now. The other thing is about the hospitality team. They do a lot, and this comes in as like, if all our members, now it's like, let's say they don't have food. We go out there, and also Pastor is a team, a member of that team. They go out there and meet our members who are in need. And if it's food, we give them food. And I think this is very, very important because I might be in it too. One day, no one knows what goes on. But God always comes and protects us. But just in case, we need to have a budget for hospitality. And I apologize on behalf of the church hospitality team. I know I've been saying no money, no money. And it's the truth, no money. Men's ministry, women's ministry, I've been saying no, no, no. It's not that. And please, everyone understand, when I say no, it's not like I'm holding money. If I only show you the bank statement right now, I checked on the one account, we have $1.36. The other one, it's $250. But I know I have to process 306 for IRS. So I can't even process 306 for IRS because I have 205. So when I say no, please understand. I think I'll come back to Sunday school surprise. I have had some parents complaining that we buy Rice Krispies, these ones. And my main question is, every time I go to someone and ask, what would you like us to buy? Because I always say, it's good to be criticized, but have positive criticism. It's like, give me an idea and also come with a solution, because trust me, as a man, this is all I know, and I've been told, hey, these are good. So I want us to have an idea of what else would we provide. Because the issue is going is like, they have a lot of sugar. And I agree. I've tasted them. They're too sugary. I know some kids say they are delicious, but also we have to take care of their well-being, health-wise. So this is a question to every member. What would you like to be bought? That's one question. And when we're answering, we also need to figure out how will it be bought. Because if you want me to go to Whole Foods, this cost, I think the big packet cost $8.99. But I know if I go to Whole Foods or to get something like it's very, very healthy, maybe it's going to cost $20. So I think that was it for me. That's, unless someone have a question, I'm ready to answer any question, or we are ready to answer any question as a team. And I would like to thank every member of the team, Move, Steve, and anyone else who, Pastor Julius, anyone who else helped in this department, I really do appreciate it. Lorraine, I can't forget you. And I would also like to thank each and every member of the church. Struggling does not mean that we won't do it. It just means that we have to kick that extra gear. And I believe we have been here before. As I told you, there was a time we were negative 10,000. We cleared it up. And we moved on. But when there is a challenge, as Giddy told me, you need to speak up. And that's what I'm doing. Any question, any comments? Yes, ma'am.
have a question on the building fund. I'm not an accountant, but since this is a long-term project, and as you said, this money is sitting in an account, I'm just curious, is it just like a regular savings account, or is it a money market account? Would it be beneficial if we figure out, and I know this is not money that can be invested to earn profit, but I'm just wondering if it's earning any profit or is just sitting, waiting for us to get to our goal, which we don't know when that's going to be. Is there any way we can maximize these funds and, you know, see if, I don't know if I'm making sense.
Good question. To answer straightforward, this is a regular account. And the only thing that is earning, it's the regular interest. Unfortunately for a church and for a non-profit organization, it's the IRS is too tough on it. But we can sit down and figure out what we can do, Pastor Julius. But it's very restrictive. And one thing I don't want to go is to go to jail because of church money. That's no. I have a family to feed. And Pastor Julius keep reminding me, Joseph, we can go to jail because of this. And this is the, I'll say, this country, the rules are regulation. Actually, I was listening to one of the DVD pastor gave me about leadership. And that pastor was saying that if you say, and I've researched and it's true, if you say it's building fund, do something else not regarding the building fund, buying the building, you'll be in for it. And they'll say it's fraud. You write to the members so that you can do something else. So I think, Pastor Julius, that's a challenge you look. I know we have been talking about this and we have been trying to figure out what else can we do, but I think we are tired. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, but the reality is that IRS has really restricted the use of donations from members, and it's because of the history of how people have raised money and misused that money. So like Joe says, the only thing that we can do is literally put it in interest, like what it is earning right now. But we can't put it like into mutual funds or anything like that, because that would be seen as fraud.
Remember, you are part of the team. So,
praise the Lord. It's just an observation about the building. The building funds. We sat down, or the church, we came together when we were in Josie. There's an amount that we were to give or to contribute. And let me say, as a team that records the offering and the building fund, Pastor Tony and Pastor Julius, you're here. Let them finish first. You're done? Now we record the building fund and the offering. Let me say this: the building fund, when the auction came in, people stopped the writing their checks and giving money for the building fund, because one feels cumbersome or overwhelmed to do the auction and also give for the building fund. You see? So some 2 or 3 months ago when it came in, we usually, maybe one person gives a check or money for the building fund because he's waiting Giddy and the team in the auction. So I think something should be done. Is it auction or the pledge that people are giving? These days, you just get a check. There's a time you don't get nothing in building fund because people are, I guess, holding their money for the auction. So that is what has been happening. We don't record nothing this day on people's pledges for the money that you are supposed to contribute, because I think they hold their money for when Gidi says this one is 100, then I give. Now, one doesn't want to give that there and also go and give a check for the building fund. So I think something should be done.
Thank you. That's a good comment, a good observation.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Joseph, for the update, especially on our finances. I just wanted to say something regarding that. And a lot of times when there is a deficit in our finances, it's not because people don't have money. Sometimes it's a reflection of a spiritual deficit. So I think we really need to, you know, figure out what's happening. Because the Bible says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our strength. So, and when we are lacking in the giving, it could be also a reflection that we are probably not giving in other areas, not just financially, but in our service unto the Lord, in our fellowship, in, you know, maybe we need to figure out if this is really just about our finances or if there's something going on. There's strength in numbers. When we are five of us versus when we are 100, so maybe we just need to figure out what we need to do, because I think it's not just about the finances, and I pray that, you know, we step up even as we address what really is going on. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. And on that issue, I'll just make a very simple comment. It will be addressed, I think, in part two of that. And so I'll not answer that. Do anyone else have a question about finances? Thank you very much. God bless you. And once else, I say thank you for the members. You do a wonderful job. We have done a lot. We can do a lot. Thank you, Pastor Sonny. God bless you.
I think Joe has covered almost everything. So mine is basically very simple and straightforward. Money is an issue everywhere, and usually when you contribute money and you don't see that money going somewhere, then, you know, sometimes you hold back on what you want to do, and I can understand that. But what has really held us, you know, like Joe is saying, is that our fundraising in this country is very complicated. It's not as easy as we think, you know, it was back home or in other places, where you can raise money and then you hold that money in a fixed deposit, or you can put that money in a mutual fund and it grows exponentially. So if one time we had like about 50,000, by the time you're going back, maybe it's 100,000 and that kind of a thing. This, it's really difficult. And I'll challenge you, you know, go ahead and research and find out how many pastors have actually gone to jail because of using funds that have been donated to the church and they've been misdirected, or even misinvested. For the simple reason being that you're a non-profit organization, the expectation is that money is going to be used for that goal. So if the money does not reach, you continue raising that money. So mine is a challenge. I just want to pose a challenge to us as members of Empowerment Christian Center. We come to this church, you know, Sunday after Sunday because we identify something with this church. And if something is going wrong in your home, where your parents are, every time you drive through, the gate is broken. When you go again, you find out even the fence is falling. You have a conversation, you know, with your dad and say, what is going on, you know? And so maybe dad says, you know, there is no money, and you decide that you're going to chip in and say, okay, I'm going to give money towards this fence that is falling down. And that becomes a commitment for you because you're a member of that family. And so I want to pose this challenge to us as members, that even what Joe has offered here and said that you know, we are falling in deficits, or rather it's like he waits for money to come, and as that money comes, every dollar that you give in this church has a name. So if you give $1, it's Sunday school. Another dollar comes in, that is going to be worship. Another dollar comes in, that is rent. Another dollar comes in, that is payroll. So if there is any emergency in this church, if there is anything that happens in this church, there is no extra. And for you and I, we know that it's not even possible for us to live that kind of life. You know, first of all, even here in this country, we are always challenged that if you want to live a healthy life, that you always have some savings. You have at least savings for the next 6 months. So if something happens today, you can survive for the next 6 months, either looking for an alternative job and that kind of a thing. So if something happens to the church today, and we don't, or like the giving had declined so much that we started asking ourselves what is going to happen. If you're not able to pay the rent for this month, what does that mean? And will our host be able to extend the term and say, oh, it's okay, you can pay next month? If the check doesn't go by the following day, they are already calling the pastor to find out what happened, what happened to the check. And that's just what the reality is. So we know that if something really happens and you're not able to pay that month and say, we'll pray, think of doing a fundraising so we can pay the rent, I can assure you will be kicked out here faster than you can even think about it. So the challenge that I want to pose to us is that, is first of all, you did not know that. So that's information, and information is power. But now that we do know, my challenge is that we'll do something about it. And there is nothing that is too little. That $10 will join with another $5. That $15 will join another $30. And eventually it's going to be what you are going to pay for rent. Are we going to stay there all the time? No, we are moving forward. Because I believe that, it's a call. It's a season. It's a cycle. And once you overcome that challenge, you move on to something that is higher. So as members, We have a commitment. It's not just coming to the church and making sure that if it's your time as in your family group, God family, to make sure that there is bread, there is tea, there is juice, there is all those nice things. That is not where it actually ends. I think it is beyond that. So that, for that group which is doing that, there is another group that probably would be doing something quite different, because every dollar in this church actually does count. In fact, I've challenged Joe to actually give a detailed statement of where that money goes, so that when people visualize it, when you visualize, I'm a visual person, when I see that money and I see this is where the money is going, then it makes a mental picture and I'm able to decide, what am I going to do differently than what I've actually been able to do. And hope, Joe, you can be able to do that, next Sunday. So as members, we do have a challenge. We do have a challenge, and this is not a fundraising. Please do not mistake me. I'm not doing a fundraising. I'm just challenging you. I'm just posing a challenge and saying, maybe we need to do something differently, because what we've been doing has not worked. It's putting us somewhere in a ditch. But then it's not just the giving. Think about it. If you don't come to church, then you also don't give. And there are many reasons. There are many reasons why we don't come to church. This is a place where you it's not like where else we come from, and Sundays is no business happens on Sundays. So the only place you can go is to church. But here it's different. On Sundays, there are jobs you go to. There, maybe you worked late yesterday. Today you try to wake up and the head says, no, today I'm not waking up. That we totally understand. But remember, it's a commitment. It's a commitment that we have here. So I'm challenging us as members that we need to go over. The reason we call ourselves members, that I'm a member of ECC, is so that when there's a crisis, that it's you that will call on and say, hey, we have a crisis. Can you help us? Can you help us in what we found ourselves in? And like Joe, comes and says honestly that it's not that the money has been misused. It's just that the giving has gone down, and this is where we find ourselves in. And even when, if you have a suggestion and you say that, why are we spending this money this way? That is okay. But I would suggest that even as we challenge those, the way that the money has been spent, offer an alternative. We could do this. That is always very helpful. Remember, Joe's ideas are only from one head, Joe's head. But when you come and tell me, Joe, I don't think you should be spending this money this way, give him a suggestion how else it could be. He could actually be able to approach that that challenge or whatever he's spending the money. Give him a suggestion. Give him another thought so that he can be able to see, oh, it's actually making sense, and we are actually spending less. Criticism is always good, and I challenge us to be open. This is our church, And that's why we are members of this church. Let's criticize. Let's not be ashamed of criticizing. But let's offer challenges. Let's offer rather alternatives. You know, if Sam, this is what you're doing. Have you thought of doing this? I said, oh, no, I haven't. Let me try that. And it may end up working. So don't hold back those ideas, you know, fearing that, you know, they will not be taken. I can assure you, you know, everybody is open to those challenges. So this mine is just to challenge you as members. Let's do something about it. Let's reach out. Let's tell ourselves that if something happens to this house, just like in the homes where we are born, the challenge is to us, the shame is to us, the embarrassment is to us. And I'm not saying that we're going to be embarrassed. I don't think it's going to reach there, because we've been there before. And before it became even a crisis, we already did something about it. And so have a lot of faith. But I believe that, you know, these discussion that you're having today is more like information, is where the father calls the children and tells the children, hey, this is what has been going on in this home. So now, because you know, things are going to be done different. And I believe that with all my heart. Pastor, that's all I can say.
Appreciate Pastor Julius. First of all, I would really want to thank every one of you, particularly the team members that we meet. To be honest with you, is it okay that I can speak my heart to you, and I'll also let you speak your heart to me? Is that okay? And can you give me just, I know our time is far much spent, but is it okay if we can talk heart to heart? Number one, I would really want to thank every one of you. The last time we met with the leadership, you know, every time I've talked about Pastor Julius, there's one thing that comes out very clearly, that the members of Empowerment Center are hardcore members. And by that I mean they're diehard members. The reason I'm saying this, there are many churches, and we are aware of this, churches that have everything functioning. You know, there are people who are there who are rich. You know, one person just giving a tithe maybe enough to cover the rent for the whole year. But you guys, Sunday after Sunday, you've come to this ministry. All right? From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to say thank you. I can't just thank you enough. There are some times when you feel like, is there anybody who is going to come on Sunday? But, you know, Sunday after Sunday, you show up, you know. And I just want to thank you for that. So I don't take that for granted. My wife and I and the entire team, we don't take that for granted. And so I just want to thank you. There are a few things, however, that we need to really examine. I've had people coming or commenting and saying, where is our church going? I've had people saying, where is this church going? And those are valid questions. If somebody came and asked you, where are you going? You got to provide an answer of where you're going, you know? But even as we discuss these things, I would like us to know, if today I'm going to give you what our visions, the vision of our church is, I'm going to even give you the core values of our church. But if we do not participate in what that vision of the church is, the pastor alone cannot do it by himself. Do I have a witness? Even as a family, if you don't participate with your spouse or your children don't come on board in what you're trying to do or achieve as a family, there's no way one person can do it alone, you know, as a family. You know, we have, you come together as a family, you decide this is what you're going to do, and everybody works towards that goal. And we are able to succeed. And these are challenges that I want to pass over to us as a father of this house, because we've had people commenting, this church doesn't go anywhere. This church, you know, is not doing this. Well, there are some other people who say, I've been blessed through this ministry. There are some times when I've ministered and somebody came and told me, oh, Pastor, you really blessed me. Now, I want to put something very clear. That as a pastor of the church, I have nothing to offer you. unless it be given me by the Holy Spirit. See, God uses men of God to communicate to you, to our hearts. There's sometimes I've stood in this pulpit and the Lord used the Holy Spirit to communicate to my heart through my voice. So the Holy Spirit uses the men who stand here. Every person who has ever stood here, no person has a word to you. It is through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, I'd like to read, before I begin, a scripture that is found in the book of Hebrew, chapter number 13. And I'm going to be very quick. What I want to talk about here. Hebrews, chapter number 13. This is what it says. And it's the part two that I'm really want to emphasize on. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Amen? The leaders that God has provided for this church keep watch over your souls. Somebody say amen. As those who will give an account, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this will be unprofitable to you. Now that last part, when I read it, it sends chills over my body and over my whole being, knowing that one day I'll stand before the Lord to give an account of your lives. Amen? Did I admonish you? Did I teach you the word of the Lord? Did I comfort you as a shepherd? Did I shepherd you? Did I lead you into green pastures? I'll give an account to every one of you. And it's very, very important. In fact, the other day we said, I'd like to have a list of all our members. I'd like to know who our members are so that I can pray for each and every person who has agreed to become a member of our church. That I can offer a prayer covering. See, I was telling you the other day, and we were told by Apostle William, who came to minister the other day, that all things are spiritual. Whenever I go to the Lord and I pray over your life, there is a covering that covers you in what you do. Amen? You need to understand that it's very, very clear, very, very important for you to understand that you just don't exist. If you exist and you don't have a pastor, it is very important if you're born again to hook yourself with a pastor so that he can provide a prayer covering over your life, a spiritual covering over your life. Let me tell you, this is not an easy responsibility that Sister Elizabeth, one day, I mean, think about this, that I'll give an account concerning your life. That James, I'll give an account. What did I do to you? Did I cheat you? Did I lie to you? Did I take care of you? I have a responsibility to take care of the flock the Lord has given me to be a leader of. Praise the Lord. Very, very important. And it is important for us to know that we cannot do it alone. I cannot do it by myself. There are so many things we have stipulated and we have said that we are going to do. Today, I'm going to elaborate what the vision of our church is. We revised it so that it is easy. Our vision, the vision of our church, just in case somebody would come and tell you, what is the vision of our church? Now, I'm going to read what the vision of our church is. And by the way, the things that I'm going through right now, I just ran over them. In the next few weeks, I'm going to speak in details through the pulpit here to tell us what we understand by what benefits, what is a benefit of a member? What is membership biblical? Is it good for me to be a member of a church? I'm going to speak about these things. Now, the vision of our church, number one, is to see people saved here. Okay? Is to see people saved, to see people healed, to see people empowered, to see people empowered to achieve the dreams God has for them, to see people restored, and to see people set free. Now, this is a very, very simple statement for me to say, but in it, it branches out in so many things. You know, I believe like when we talk about saving souls, we are talking about partnering with people, missions, and partnership ministries who go out there to reach out for souls. It would also involve us going out to reach out and tell people about Jesus. Now, this is a core value of our ministry. Now, if we all decide that one time we are going to go reach out, or we are going to, these are the modalities of how we are going to reach out, or we are going to send money to this ministry, I cannot, my money will not be enough. We all need to participate in order to realize of that vision. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? In other words, we have to be team players in all that we do. Number one, when you talk, and I'm going through very quickly over these things, and as I told you, I'll have time to talk about these things in detail because I believe it's very, very important. What are the core values of Empowerment Christian Center? What are the core values? What do we believe in? We believe that we've been called to pursue excellence in all we do. How is excellence achieved? Excellence will be achieved when you're given a responsibility, you do it like you're serving God. Amen? That's how we are going to achieve excellence. Excellence will only take place when we commit to do a thing, you're going to be there to do the thing. Amen? Are we together? We have been called to be passionate people. And I'm going to ask this question, and I don't expect an answer. I'm going to ask you some other questions later that I expect you to answer. Can we ask ourselves, are we passionate about the things God has given us or God has put us to do? Are we really passionate about those things? God has called us to be authentic people. Most of us are authentic because authenticity is our belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we believe in the Lord and we follow Him, and I know that part. We are authentic people. We don't come here to worship any other God other than the God, Lord God Almighty. Amen? We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the salvation through death of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we express our authenticity. Praise the Lord. We are also called to be relational people, to love one another, to take care of one another. And you can see that whenever somebody has a tragedy going on, we are all there willing to support and giving our finances, giving our money, giving our support. And we are supposed to take care of one another, to love one another. We are also called to be missional people, to support the work of the ministry, either here in the church or with the ministries that we are partnering with. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now again, all these things that I'm telling you, we cannot do them. I cannot do them alone. We all need to do them as a team. Praise the Lord. As Brother Joe and Pastor Julius have talked to us about the finances and the building, the goals in 2016 for our church will be to advance towards completing our building project. Now, we've talked about the building project, and I cannot really overemphasize the need for us to secure our own building. Last year, but one, we made pledges that we would give $25 every month. And I'm going to ask you a question. I don't expect you to answer. How many of you honored those pledges? How many of you honored those pledges? Because we all agreed that we were going to give towards this building project. We come again back to the main reason that we can have even big agendas and we can have our big plannings concerning our ministry. But are we willing to participate even in that project? To be honest with you, if we give $25, we were anticipating that if everybody would be faithful, giving $25 every week. And how much do we spend? $25 nowadays is not a lot of money that you can buy with. But it takes that personal commitment to give towards that. And if everybody would be faithful to give towards the pledge that you gave, at the end of the year, would have close to almost $30,000. Amen? Would that be enough to purchase our building? No, but it will be taking us closer to where we would have enough deposit in order to buy our own building. Now, the thing about the building is a little bit tricky. Rent, and that's, by the way, some of us come and told us, I've been talking to a few of you, and I'm still in the course of talking to almost, maybe probably nearly each one of you, the Lord helping me. And some of us have come up with with ideas and asked them, why do you think we, you know, why you don't come to church, or why do you think maybe is an afternoon service better for you? And they'll say a morning service will be better. But the trick part of this is this, that rent is so expensive. If today we were to acquire a building, maybe the size of this church with all the Sunday schools and all the facilities that we would need, it would be so expensive that maybe it would come to the rent would be close to about $5,000 a month. Okay. Now, raising $5,000, any building that we would have right now at the moment would be like the building that we had in Jersey, whereby when we went there, we had to renovate the classes and make sure that there were enough and they'll be ready to, for our Sunday school children. Some of the buildings that would never have even a hall where we would go into. So you call for even more money to renovate those buildings to be ready for our service there. So do we want to spend so much money maybe to renovate a building for the sake of having a morning service, spending money that we don't have, and later maybe we might be asked to leave that building and all our money has been invested there and we lost it? Because that's exactly what happened to Josie. We spent so much money renovating classes, but even though we were able to use the facilities for the time we were there, but all that money has gone down the drain. So the better option would be to continue towards our thing, because when we have our building, then we'll be able to build equity on that building and we'll be able to have ownership on that building. Praise the Lord. So what I'm asking is what, Pastor Julius and James observed here, then we need to step up and advance towards completing the building project. The other goal, we only have two goals that we want to do in 2016, is improving the quality of services offered by ECC. Now, what do I mean by the services offered by ECC? The ministry of the Sunday school, the ministry of the women, the ministry of the men, pulpit ministry, our website, Facebook, and the way we do things the way we do things here. We are all looking forward to improve the quality of services offered by ACC. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that I have failed in some of the areas. As a pastor, maybe I should have stepped up to refurbish some of the things, like, for example, our website, to work on our Facebook page, maybe to reach even more. I'll be the first one to admit that I've not been excellent in some areas. But we also have also to take responsibility that it will take each and every one of us as a team to improve the quality of service offered by ECC. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the next area that I want to talk about, and I'll be asking you to give your comments and suggestions, is what are the steps of our achieving our goals? How can we improve the quality of the services offered by ECC? How can we advance towards the completing of our building project? So the reason why I asked for membership, and I already talked to you about this, I'd like to know who our members are, I'd like to know that these are our members and I can entrust them and lay this vision to them so that they can step up to the plate and so that we can work this as a team. Now, what will membership in the church require of you? What is expected of you as a member? Now, again, I'm going through these things so generally, but I'll be speaking about them in details in days to come. Now, many people approach the idea of membership in a church as many consumers approach, the idea of being a member of a certain organization. And this is what we ask ourselves. We ask ourselves, how does this ministry benefit me? Okay? What benefits do I derive from Empowerment Christian Center? And this brings us to the question, why are you a member of a church? Can I talk? Can I talk, church? Is it good to ask ourselves these questions? Why do you affiliate yourself with the church? Like, for example, Empowerment Christian Center. Do you affiliate us because I feel I need to belong to a local body whereby there's a minister and a body of believers who I need fellowship with? Or do we come to a church because of what we can get out of this church? In fact, I was talking to another pastor, just a pastor of the city, and he was telling me, you know, I didn't know what he was talking about. I don't know whether I was not ready to agree with him, but this is what he was telling me. He was telling Pastor Tony, I feel some of our members in their church come to their church just in case a tragedy would happen in their home, but the church will be there for them. You know, that's why, you know, he was telling me, I think he felt that was the reason why most of his members were there. And I asked him, why would you say that? Because, he said, because I never see any commitment, I never see them giving, I never see them ready to come for any other meetings, but just because, you know, they want the church to be there or to have people around them just in case a tragedy happens, like death or, you know, something happens to them, there'll be somebody, you know, to be there for them. Now, that's a valid reason for you to be a member of a certain church. But it should not be the primary reason why you should be a member of a church. The primary reason why you should be a member of a church is to join with other believers in the worship of the Lord God Almighty. Amen? That should be the main reason that drives us to join the membership of any church. Praise the Lord. And like in the early church, we should be like the disciples when they came together. They used to say, what shall we do? What can I do in this ministry? Well, I'm seeing some things that are not going right. Like, for example, I'm so deficient in some giftings, I don't even know how to go about them. Like, for example, there are people here. If I would ask you to manage our webpage, you can do it in an excellent way. I may not be really be gifted to do it, you know? If I go there, maybe I'll spend maybe a week to do it. But that is a need that we have in the church. And I thank, you know, Shiro for coming and asking and saying, who do we give our suggestions? If you know that you have something that you can do. I was talking to one of our members, you know, here. And she told me, you know, Pastor, I've been an administrative assistant. I can do the database of our church. I can work it out so well. And you know what? Today only, I'm going to meet with that person. And I'm going to hand over, you know, details of how he can do that database for me. Amen? That will be one burden that is relieved off me. Praise the Lord. So if you know that you're gifted in any area, maybe you're an intercessor, maybe you can teach Sunday school. This is our ministry. Praise the Lord. When we succeed in Sunday school, when people come, new people come, and find that we have a thriving Sunday school, you know what? They would want to be members of our church. And you know who gets the glory at the end of the day? God gets the glory. And do you know who God used in order for him to receive the glory? God used you to give God the glory. Praise the Lord. So whatever you can do, we have need, we have volunteers. And by the way, on this note, I would like to put it this to all of us. If you have a young child that goes to Sunday school, how many of us have little children that go to Sunday school? Lift up your hands. You have a child that goes to Sunday school, lift it high. I would like to see all of you. You know what? All of you are teachers of Sunday school. You know? We would like you to commit to teach Sunday school. Because when we bring our children and we just take them to the classes there, there's one person who is there every other Sunday. And if we can commit ourselves to teach our children, let me ask you this. Who teaches your children at home? Sister Monica. You teach your children at home, right? We all teach our children at home. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'd like all of us who have children to know that you're going to be allocated and to be able to teach Sunday school. You may not really be talented to teach, but you can be showed how to do it. You can even take care of the toddlers. And you know what? You may have just to do it 1 week, and then it recycles maybe a month, and you make the work easier. We work together as a team. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. So that's one thing that I would like us to step up and be committed to do. And we may also have to call those of you that may not have children to help with the youth and to help in other areas. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's number one, the commitment as a member. We have to be committed as members. Praise the Lord. As members of our church, we have to be committed, step up to the plate, and so that we can see the fulfillment of the goals that we have here. Now, number as I continue with that, what are the responsibilities of a member? What are your responsibilities as a member? We are supposed to uphold a positive image of our church. What do you talk about Empowerment Christian Center when you're out there with other people? You know, what do you talk? How do you portray the image of your church? Surely, if you come here, and I'm very passionate about when I'm saying this, if you come here every Sunday and you worship and you participate and you join with other believers, then this is your ministry. Praise the Lord. Amen? Can I hear an amen? So when you're out there talking with other people, if somebody comments something bad about the church, you will say, no, you cannot talk about that ministry. That is where I get spiritual nourishment. There are brothers and sisters that I know in that church, so you cannot talk. So we are supposed to portray a good image of our church. Amen? Hallelujah. So the other commitment of a member is by attending weekend worship services and weekly home fellowship area. Again, I'm going through this in a general way. I'll be talking this in details. We have started cell groups almost in every area. We have an Arlington cell group that is coming up, and thankfully we have people now who are enough to form the cell group in Arlington. Brother Sam is organizing, and we are going to launch. In fact, we're in the process of launching that cell group. We have a cell group that is meeting in McKinney and Little M area. We've been meeting every Tuesdays, and let me tell you, I cannot begin to tell you how I have profited, even as we have come to reason together over these Bible studies, meetings that we are having. We already have a Wiley Bible study, that is going on, fellowship, you know, that is being led by our brother Joel. They've been having challenges, you know, meeting, but they are working towards those challenges so that even if they'll be meeting once every 2 weeks, at least a meeting will be taking place. Amen? Pretty soon, we are launching the Dallas cell group and Sister Monica. We've already talked with her, and we are starting that cell group. We would like you to be involved in this cell group. If you call yourself a member of Empowerment Christian Center, then you need to be committed in one of these cell groups. And, okay, we want to grow up and grow up maturely. And I thank the Lord for what Sister Purity said. Maybe the reason we have not been able to give maybe it could be spiritual underlying issues. Maybe we need to develop ourselves and grow and be taught and know the reason and the importance of giving. We are not, let me tell you, every time I stand here, I only have probably 20 minutes to preach and to speak the word of the Lord. That is not enough for us, for us to know everything there is to know about being committed as a child of God. Praise the Lord. So it is through these fellowships and the home cells that we'll be able to be nourished and we'll be able to grow, and as we discuss and as we feed the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, secondly, talked about the membership, and I'm just going so fast. Oh, the other thing that I wanted to say here is by faithfully serving in one of the many departments in the church, I cannot overemphasize that, as well as participating in the family tribes. Do you belong to a tribe in our church? Amen? We have 12 tribes that we set up. I think right now we have 11. And there are some of us who never even participate. You know that you belong to a tribe. You don't even call. Can I talk, church? If you are a member of a certain tribe and you know that you're going to be working and you're not there, please, as a courtesy, can you pick up the phone or text the lead of your tribe, tell them I'm not going to be here because of A, B, C reasons. I know, you know, every person here has been allocated. Look at it this way. When you fail to respond or to participate, you're just overburdening the other members of that tribe because you never participated. You know, like I remember today is our duty. And Sister Lorraine, last week, wrote us a text, and everybody was asked to bring something. I came by Walmart, and I bought something for our tribe, because today was, we have to serve you, because when it is your duty, you also serve us. Can we be responsible enough just to communicate and be participate in this area? And in doing so, the Lord is going to bless us. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, the second thing, and I'm really going to go very fast, is unity. You know, in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, it talks about unity. Okay? Unity. Unity, unity, unity. We have to be united in all that we do. Praise the Lord. Amen? One of the reasons why we are not united is because everybody has their own opinions, they have things that they are doing, and we are not united. Now listen to what the Bible says here. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Communicate.
When you're united, you know, we planned for a meeting and we have a calendar, you know, Brother George, and we send out a message and we say, are you going to be available? No one responds. Surely. Why don't we respond? I send out a message, or Brother Julius, or it is your department, maybe Sister Catherine, or Sister Leah, or it could be Sister Purity, or Betty, is asking, okay, we are just reminding you, you're going to have this meeting. Can you please respond with a no? If you're going to come, respond with a yes. Somebody just looks at that message, you know, why don't you respond, church? Can somebody say, tell me, please, why don't you respond?
Now, going forward, whenever we have something or a meeting that has been scheduled, or we need you to participate in commenting or communicating, do you all agree that we are going to communicate? Let me ask you. Maybe you didn't hear this.
Whenever we ask you to answer or to communicate, do you all agree that we shall communicate?
Thank you.
There's another thing. While on that note, and now these are really like house, you know, the things, stuff that we take care in the house. Normally after the service, I've had these comments, okay?
Like when we go to the fellowship area right there,
there's a tendency of Giddy to hook up with Jimmy, and they're talking about the truck, and there's somebody who has nothing to do with the truck business, and you alienate them. Okay, there's somebody maybe who is a nurse, and they work together in the same place, and they hook up together, and they go in a corner and you alienate other people.
Here, si jambo la busara jameni.
We really need to honor and esteem each and every one of us. When we go out there, let us value the presence of each and every one of us.
Shall we all say amen?
You know, you can call each other during the week and say how, get along with each other and get to know how the other person is doing. I've had somebody who came and told me, Pastor, I think you have classes, people who group together. There are women who come together, I think they have getate going, and which is a good thing. By the way, I'm not saying those things are bad. But even as you group together, please notice somebody who is alone. Talk to them. Get to know how their week has been. Maybe you're the only person that they are going to meet that is going to be an encouragement to their lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. The other thing, while I'm still on it, is going forward, we have social media like WhatsApp groups that have people that have already left our church, which is okay. If people have moved on, they have moved on. But we don't want to just be communicating house stuff or things that relate to us, that people will be seeing what we are communicating. So going forward, if you belong to a group, you are going to dissolve some of those groupings. And I'm not talking about the church WhatsApp, because as a general, everybody needs to know what is going on. But we have like the men's WhatsApp, we have the women's WhatsApp, or the worship WhatsApp, that have people that have already left. We didn't want to do it rudely, but we are going to dissolve it and include people who are really here. Okay? So if you see that change taking place, don't wonder what is going on, and that is going to take, we're going to do that next. Okay. Now the third thing, which is the is about loyalty. How can we move forward and improve quality in our church? It's by being loyal, okay? As we are all Christ ambassadors, we also have to be true ambassadors of the fellowship that we represent. Loyalty also involves, as a member, giving, I've talked about that, protecting the image of our church, and respecting authority. Praise the Lord. Amen? This is very, very important. It is important to respect authority. Sometimes I can pick up the phone and call anyone, some of you. You don't even answer, surely. It is good to text me back. I just want to know whether you're doing okay. Okay? If you took a trip, and thank you so much, most of you. When you're taking a trip, you have the courtesy of calling me or texting him. Oh, Pastor, we are not going to be here. I'm going to so and so place. So I can pray for you. Amen? It is good to be accountable. This is one of the things that we are supposed to be accountable to each other. If you know you're not going to be in church for the next 4 weeks, it is good to, as a courtesy, because I'll be wondering, okay, what happened to this sister? What happened to this brother? You know, just notify me and let me know what is going on. Amen? If come on, mekasirika, just call me, tell me, Pastor, nimejam, we need to talk over. I'll be available so we can talk over it. Praise the Lord. So let me know. And when I call or somebody calls you, and I know I'm also a victim of this, I'm a victim of what I'm telling you, but I'm making up. Let me tell you, I told the leaders when we met that I'm upping my game. There are things that you begin to see. I don't want to make any promises, but you begin to see positive things in our church. Amen? I would like to provide an environment where you can give if you're not coming to the church. And I think somebody alluded to that. We want to have, you can give through our website, you can give through an app of our church, so that if you don't come to a church, you can log in and give and be a blessing to the ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm on the last page. So I talked about submitting to authority in the church as well as honoring your leaders. It is biblical to honor your leaders. Amen? When you go out there, if you know maybe there's a leader, one of the leaders maybe is not acting in the way you would want, why don't you approach them? Or approach the pastor. If you don't like me, by the way, pray for me. How many times have you prayed for your leaders? I need your prayers. Let me tell you guys. If you know how I pray for most of you, you know, I go to prayer and the Lord sending all this, sometimes giving me a burden to pray for a certain family, and I'm praying. I don't have to come and blow my trumpet and tell you, oh, today I prayed for you. I covet your prayers, brothers and sisters. Amen? It is not easy. You know, many times I would say this, and I'll put my file down. I'll say this. Being a pastor, or being a leader for that reason, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. See, like when Joe tells me there are no finances, and we have a minister who came to minister to us, he blessed us. Like, you remember Pastor Ronchi, who came up there, and I told us, let us give generously to give him so that we can be a blessing to him. There was no money to give him. So guess what? I go back in my pocket and I give him an offering. You know, I get blessed. I'm not even complaining. But I do that so that to save the image of our church. You know, praise the Lord. There are many times I have been compelled to go see certain families here. And some of them can identify. And I just felt that this family needed some, you know, the church needed to be a blessing to them. And we went with my wife and we did a whole shopping and we went and gave them the, you know, being a blessing to them. And we said that the church has come to see you. But at that point, the church didn't have any money. So what I'm trying to say is, while we may discount some of the things that externally you may see like not happening, there's so much that takes place behind the scenes that you may not even know. Amen? And there's so much that is done all to glorify the name of the Lord. Finally, what I'm trying to say is this. If we can join together as a team, if we can do the things, if we want to improve the service of our church and the quality of services that Empowerment Christian Center offers, if we want to forge ahead even in our building project,
We all have to come aboard. Amen? On the list that we had last time for our members, we had about 54 people. It's not a big congregation. But think about this. Each and every one of us maybe has a job that pays you about $300 every week, right? Well, there are people who get more than that. But think about this, and I'm saying this, you know, from my heart. If each and every one of us would be faithful in paying their tithes, that would be how much dollars per person every week? Can we do the maths? Huh? I mean, $300. If you get $300, what is the tenth? The 10th percent of $300? $10? That would be $30. Now think about this. If each and every one of us would give faithfully $30, and I know there are people maybe who get more, and you're faithful, giving $30, and we have approximately 50 people, how much is that? Do the math. How much would that be? That's $1,500. Let me tell you, if we would have a consistent $1,500 even coming in, and I know we have the propensity to even give more, Joe would never stand up here to say that we've not been able to pay this, we've not been able to pay the other. So it again boils down to all of us stepping up to the plate and participating and knowing that this is our church. Amen? Give what the Lord... And you know what? At the end of the day, when you're faithful, the Lord will bless you. Amen? When you're faithful in giving, the Lord will open up... The Bible talks about in Malachi that the Lord will open up the floodgates of heaven. So in not stepping up to the plate, we are denying ourselves and closing the doors for us. There are many people here in this church who will be walking even in tremendous blessings financially if you have been faithful. But you see now, the Lord God is so faithful. But because from now on you can say, Lord, forgive me. I've not been faithful. I've not been faithful in attending the fellowships. I've not been faithful. If you can grade yourself, giving yourself 1 to 10, you probably don't have anything good you can talk about yourself. But from this point going on, you can change all that and turn everything around for our ministry. I, for one, I told the team that I'm upping up my game. I don't even have to tell you what I'm doing. But trust me, I'm upping up my game. And you see it. I want you to see it. I don't want to promise it to you, but you will see it. If I've not been reaching out to you, I'll reach out to you. Amen? If I've not been picking up your phone call, I'll pick up your phone call. Purity is clapping. Amen? And the same way, let us all step up to the plate and we can do this thing. Praise the Lord. Lastly and finally, this is the final one now, Shiro. Let us tell people about our ministry. If you really love your church, there are people you know that don't go to church. Don't go to somebody who goes to a church here. But reach out to people who don't go to church. Tell them, come and visit. I like the way Monica just invited, Sister Grace. And she came and her boys loved the church. And she said, you know, wow, we met our age mates. And now look, she's here the second Sunday. Think about this. If each and every one of us would take a responsibility to invite somebody, and they became members of this church, in about a month, we would be double the size of this, the size of who we are. And guess what? There are people, I don't even know what Grace is gifted. But she might be the next superintendent of Sunday school. So think about this. The people who will be... She's laughing. Okay, there are people who are out there who are supposed to be Sunday school teachers, who are supposed to be the musicians. But if we don't invite them, how are they going to know that where we worship? Amen? So do we all agree that we are going to up our game as well? Church, I'm asking you again. Do we all agree that we shall up our game? That we shall step up to the plate? I mean, that we shall step up to the... I need to hear that resounding, yes. That we shall step up to the plate. Amen. So, may the Lord God bless you. And I want you to know that every one of you is valuable. Amen. So, finally, I'd like to give you a chance to ask me any question.